But I think that the district government is still trying to figure out a way to continue to develop it and not just have the community there during Beijing Design Week, but how can we improve the urban public spaces, whether it's the buildings, the public spaces, the little side streets themselves, to make it more of a livable place, a more livable neighborhood?
Well, you're saying livable. This is, I think, a very important thing, because a lot of the older areas, the modernity has come in too fast into some of these areas, in particular, say, the cars. And I often see that cars and hutongs don't mix. And it's creating a lot of problem for the people who are living in these areas. Have you noticed this?
Yeah, I think that for certain areas like Dashlar, that's something that they've been trying to reconcile, like especially over the last couple of years. So there's a addition of some new parking structures that are going in to try and alleviate parking within Dashlar. And then I think some of the things during Beijing Design Week, some which from last year and the year before, like Jasmine's Parklet, is one idea of an intervention that the public can use to prevent people from parking. And then Arup also did these benches that also prevent cars from parking. So that there's these ideas that I think the developer for the area is interested in, you know, that will be implemented and integrated. But I think it's also working in sync with adding more parking that so people won't park in hutongs, more or less, you know. I also feel like for this area, it's a bit like the Deng Xiaoping saying, crossing the river by filling the stones. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the what's going on within this area is also not that there's not a lot thought put into it, but it's working on a small scale through testing through small prototypes to see what does work and what doesn't work. And the things that do work, then they develop more. And the things that don't work, then they don't do. But it's very pragmatic in that sense. But also, I think the small scale allows for things to be tested really quickly with not a lot of financial investment in it. And then if it works well, then, you know, they can actually start to put more money into it.
You mentioned that you were standing in the spot of the parklet the other day and you saw the cars parked there now. Now, the idea of the original parklet was to show the community what's possible. Mm-hmm. And that was a temporary installation structure. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping that this year there can be a more permanent one, because we saw the community was using it and they were asking me, is this going to stay after the exhibition, right? Because this is a perfect place for my kids to come and we never had a space before. And so we're hoping, pending many things, that it could be a permanent structure. So the idea is like what Andy said, that these are simple interventions that don't cost a lot of money, but they kind of foster a sense of community.
Mm. So who's really behind all this of the plan for the Dashlar CJ?
It's really this woman, Jia Rong, who's heading Dashlar platform, and Jia Rong and Zhang Chen, and then they have a small group working with them. And they started off basically with just a couple people working with approach architecture for some master planning. It's been very step by step. Each year over the last 4 years, they've been able to successfully grow things slowly, but in a way where it's had a pretty big impact, where they've done stuff. So even though it's on a small scale, the amount of feedback from just what they're doing within these small areas like Jasmine's Parklet is really, really good for the government to hear too, when there's local residents saying, this is a good thing for us as well. You know, those are really valuable sort of opportunities for urban planning strategies. And I think Dashlar platform is, Jia Rong has been really the main push behind making sure this keeps growing and has a lot of support from her boss and also from the mayor as well, which is great.
I've noticed the area is developing in quite a positive way. For example, there are youth hostels developing, which a lot of foreigners are now going to. So therefore, you've got some nice cafes opening. You're getting restaurants, shops with signs up in English. So it's seeing itself with the potential for a very sustainable tourism that is there and also being used for small galleries.
So this is actually one of the things that we're trying to do. We're trying to help the district decide which street should be more of a tourism street, or do we want this to be more of a public spaces for community, or do we want to have local businesses for the local residents there? And so this is one thing that we're doing as part of the greater redevelopment strategy to help them determine, should this be more of a tourism district or for local community or residents?
I think it's also good to really qualify that it's really responding to very specific, like looking at very specific areas and looking at what the community thinks. And it's perhaps more of a hybrid of a lot of different things. And it's in some ways saying this area, because it's close to Meishu Xiejie, for example, so there's a lot of foot traffic and there's certain points where enhancing sort of these tourism-based businesses that are more sensitive to what people coming through the area might want. There's a lot of tourism shops that come and go because they don't really have a clear sort of understanding of what the market is, et cetera. But finding a way that you can create these layers and these interconnections. So between tourism that can connect also to local businesses and local communities, you know, and it becomes this more holistic, integrated network so that everyone's benefiting. And it's not just all people that are involved in tourism benefit, but the local community doesn't benefit. Mm-hmm. But we're really interested in finding these points of these connection points and defining those so that everyone benefits.
Yeah. I think to clarify, so a lot of districts, when they develop themselves or redevelop themselves, they have a master plan that has all the details planned out at one point in time, and then they execute it. The problem with this type of master planning is that you can't really tell whether these things work, and by the time you redevelop, it's too late because you've already constructed and you've already put everything out. So the way that Dashalar is now planning to redevelop is through incremental changes. Mm-hmm. So they want to try, they have a plan or master plan that's kind of flexible and loosely written, and then they will implement a couple of those changes in the plan. Then they kind of will see how the residents and local businesses react, and then at the same time get feedback from them, and then they'll decide whether to keep it and build more of that, mm-hmm. or change direction. Mm-hmm. So this is sort of the kind of difference in planning that's mm-hmm. happening in mm-hmm. Dashalar.
What they call it is nodal development too, and a really key phrase for what they're doing. It's a core part of their development strategy.